Lord, good morning. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for waking us up. Lord, we just ask that you would wake us up to the thoughts you want us to have today, even in Sunday school, to think about, meditate on, enter into your heart. We ask that every word would be guided and directed by you, both out of our mouths and into our hearts. We say thank you, Jesus. Amen. So did anybody read Acts chapter 2, 36 to 47 this week? Why don't we turn there and let's look at something, okay? As we're reading, ask yourself or ask God to reveal to you, what is it that God is showing us here? What is sticking out? What's a process here? He's talking about church. He's talking about a church being started. What is sticking out? What is it he wants us to see? Okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 47. Therefore, somebody's preaching, and at the end, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's go back to verse 36. Remember last week when we talked about what if we were on an island and we had never seen or heard of a church, and our whole life had been growing up on this island, we'd never seen or heard of a Bible, and somebody came paddling up, and the guy gets out of the boat. There was a couple of guys, and they began to preach Jesus Christ. They opened the Bible, began to preach Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection. They explained to us that he is God in the flesh. They're reading all these things out of the Bible. Now, we've never seen or heard of this before. We have no experience. We have no preconceived ideas. We have no example. We've been heathens all our life. And somebody paddles up to our world, and they begin to preach Jesus Christ. And we receive Christ. We hear this message. We say, what shall we do? They said, you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And this promise is to all that are afar off. It's to everybody. And then they, you and I, living on this island, never having heard of it, we receive this word. We accept. We put our faith. Because it's the Holy Spirit is dealing in our hearts. He's pricking us. in our hearts. They were pricked in the heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? God's working in our hearts. We respond to that, accept Christ. What's next? See, it's a process. You hear, you believe, you obey, which means to follow, means you have to have a leader. Okay? So they get baptized. And they said, what's next? Wow! This great weight came off of me, all my sin being forgiven me. Wow! This super love came inside of me. God comes to live inside of me. Wow! What's next? And the guys, the two men that had paddled up to your world and given you this good news and helped bring you to Jesus, they said, well, there's other islands we got to go to. Yeah, but what's next? What do we do next? And they said, here's God's instruction manual. Yeah, but what's next? Just read the book. Read the manual. Don't try to put it together, and then when it doesn't work, go back and try to read the manual, like y'all do at Christmas time. Of course, y'all don't know about Christmas yet, but you know what I'm talking about? He said, here's the instruction manual. So I'm asking you, do you really want what God wants? Do you really want to have church the way God would have church? What would it look like? Because you see, if you were on an island and you didn't have any preconceived idea and you just started reading this book, somebody left you and handed you the book and said, here, they introduced you to Christ and said, here, now read the book. What's next? Here, read the book. And you just started reading the book. Do you think church would end up looking like North American Christianity? Or so what would be different? So let's look at some things, okay? Let's look at verse 36 for a second. I want you to notice, if you read Acts chapter 2, and it starts around verse 12, 14, that Peter, I know it must have been about verse 16, Peter starts preaching. The Holy Spirit comes on him. They were waiting. They were doing what God told them to do, which was to go and to wait until you're endued, until you receive the promise of my Father, and you'll be endued with power from on high. They got moved. They got motivated by the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak. You can't help but talk about what you're full of. What are we full of? And so Peter preaches this sermon, and he ends up, and he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel, he's talking to all these Israelites, know for sure that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Okay, let's just take it one verse at a time. What do you see in that verse? What do you get by just reading that verse? What do you get? We're talking about how to see church the way God wants it, but there's ingredients that need to be put into it. Okay? There's understanding. There's foundation. What do we see in verse 36? What do you see? People are listening. People are listening. Wow. That is in my notes. People are listening. You see, when you preach, when you talk to people, does everybody listen? When y'all are over in Ionia and you see all these people and they come and they start pouring out on you, Leida, okay, and they're telling you all their stuff, but then when you start talking, do they listen? Not often. But these people listen. Okay? Of course, we find that in verse 37, but let's go back to verse 36. I do want to do verse 37. I just love that part too, you know? All these parts. Can we overview some things? Could I just give you some overview thoughts? Verse 36, you have somebody that's preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18, by the foolishness of preaching, God saves people. 1 Corinthians 1:18. By the foolishness of preaching, God saves people. Okay? So first of all, you have somebody preaching. And what are they preaching? They're lifting up Jesus. Okay? What they're doing is they're talking about who Jesus is. They're talking about his deity. The word deity means that he is God. They're proclaiming that Jesus is God. Okay? Very important. Because you can believe he's a good person, you can believe he's a prophet, and go to hell. In order to go to heaven, you have to understand that he is God in the flesh. That's why you hear me say that all the time. It's important to know who he is. Because all those, Muslims? They believe in Jesus, but they believe in Jesus as a prophet. Moses is a prophet, Jesus is a prophet, Muhammad's a prophet. Do you understand? The Jehovah Witness believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus as God in the flesh. They believe he's like an angel, somewhere between God and man. He's an angel. Is he just an angel? The word angel actually means heavenly messenger. Is he just a heavenly messenger? See, I'm a heavenly messenger. If you talk about Jesus, I didn't say a heavy messenger.
No, the message was heavy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought your hand wasn't kind of getting up all the way, you know? Okay, I'm a heavy messenger. Okay, with a heavy message. Serious. Let's think about it, okay? He's talking about who Jesus is. So first of all, we got a messenger. That means somebody who's willing to speak a message. And what's the message? They're not preaching, let's have nice little bowling times. Let's have nice little things that make us all feel good if we all do stuff as a club. We can do those things. But what's he preaching? He's preaching Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And he says, God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. He doesn't pull bones and goes, well, he kind of died and it was kind of your fault. You know, he says, you crucified him. And these were the people who did 7 weeks before this. 7 weeks, that's less than 2 months prior to this. They had raised up together and yelled, crucify him, crucify him. So he preaches a message. He preaches a message of Jesus Christ, who he is, and he preaches a message of to the people of where they are. He cuts right through, no games, cuts right to the quick. Boom. And then he says, and God made that same Jesus both Lord, Master, Boss, and Christ, the Anointed of God. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, now we come to what Steve said. We have people listening. When you go to preach, it says, when they did this, 3,000 people, in verse 41, 3,000 people heard and responded. Do you realize that there was a lot more than that? But 3,000 of them responded. I meet many people that I talk to about Jesus. God moves through me. They tell me God's touching them. I have on my wall a letter from a lady who is an atheist from England. I won't say her name. She's an atheist from England. I talked to her. God moved on me and got loose like a bazooka flowing through in the spirit to her on the phone. She sent me a letter, a note, and it said, it's right up on my wall, and it says, Harvey, keep up the good work. The world needs you. But she didn't accept Christ. God moved on her. Just because you're telling somebody about God, and just because God's moving on them, many people draw back into their comfort zone. Many people will get touched, get moved, but they don't get changed because they don't let God have His perfect work in them. They hear it, they get stirred. Over in the book of Acts, I believe it's Felix, who was a Roman leader, when Paul preached and reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, it says Felix trembled and said, "We will hear thee again of this matter, but we don't want to." In another place, there's one where he says, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian. You almost." Well, we're not playing horseshoes here. It's not who's closest. It's our, you have the dead ringer. Are you around Jesus? Is he around you? Do you understand? This is a life and death message. But everybody doesn't hear. Verse 37. They heard. If you see something as we're going through this. And when they heard, they were pricked in the heart. Have you ever talked to somebody about God and seen their whole countenance change? Watch them start trembling. You're talking to them, they're smiling, and all of a sudden, everything changes. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever had anybody that you're talking to them, and all of a sudden, they don't want to hear about it anymore? But these people, when they heard, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They humbled themselves. They were looking for direction and instruction. They were willing to follow. Then Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Repent. Your way is not working. You need to turn to God. Where? In everything. And then when you repent, see, anybody can say, "Well, I repent." He says, "Then put your money where your mouth is. Put your life where your mouth is." See, there's a lot of people that will honor God with their lips. They'll say the things. He says, "Get baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." And I like it, verse 39, when he goes, he says, and you're going to, you know, you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the removal, or because of the removal of sins. You turn to Jesus, "Have mercy on me," the same Jesus whom he's preaching. And he says, and you're going to receive God inside of you. God's going to come live inside of you. And then notice what he says in verse 39. He says, "For this promise is not only unto you, but it's to your children." And he says, "And to all that are afar off." They're afar off from God. Or it could be any other state or region. But he's really talking about people that are far off from God. Because to come to God, somebody has to realize they're away from God. And in verse 40, and realize that God is calling the people in verse 39. God's calling people. If you feel a need to talk to somebody, you find yourself talking to somebody, God is not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you find yourself talking to somebody, it's because God has given you that opportunity. God's calling them. God's drawing them. Now they have a choice. What are they going to do with it? And notice in verse 40, and with many other words. There was a lot of things he said. He testified. He gave examples. He gave stories. And he exhorted. He encouraged them. He challenged them. And he says, save yourselves. That word save means to deliver. I looked it up. To deliver and protect. Preserve yourself. Save yourself from this untoward generation. That means a crooked or perverse people. He was preaching to America. He says, save yourselves. He says, the ship may be going down, but you don't have to go down with it. The nation may be going down. The nation may be going to hell, but you don't have to follow. You need to turn to Jesus. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So what do we see here? What do we see in this verse? They were baptized same day. They agreed with the truth. And then they submitted to it. They didn't need to go pray about if it was true or not. Well, I'll go hear what God has to say to me. God's already talking to you. What are you going to do with it? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them. Whoa! Wait a minute. Added unto who? Added unto who? Where did we get the who they were added unto? I'm glad you asked. Go back to Acts chapter 1. We'll start with verse 1. The former treaties or topic have I made unto thee, O lover of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. He says, I'm gonna talk about this Jesus. He was writing this man, this whose name was Theophilus, which meant lover of God. He had written him and said, and was asking him questions. So Luke, was answering him in a letter. He said, I'm going to tell you about all these things that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, the day he was resurrected. After that, he it was kind of like the second resurrection, I guess, because he rose from the dead, but then the day that he rose up in their sight into heaven. Okay, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So we see a group of people that God chose. He called them apostles, which meant sent ones. Okay? Because God had a chosen group that he was going to do something through to lead these people. To whom also, to these apostles, also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his death, by many infallible proofs. He didn't just show himself one time. He showed himself many times. And they were seen of him for 40 days. And he spoke of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was talking to them about. I want the kingdom of God to be lived here. You have lived in the kingdom of this world. You've lived for the other kingdom. He said, but now this is the kingdom of God mentality. I want you to live this way. And that's what Jesus talked about. And he says, verse 4, and being assembled together with these apostles, he commanded them He didn't suggest to them or ask them to pray about it and see if it was okay. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard of me. Now, go up. I like in verse 6 and 7. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know. He said, do something with what I'm telling you. Yep. He said, let me lead. And notice in verse 12, because we're talking about they were added unto them. Who were they added unto? The church. But where does it start? In chapter 1. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode, where lived, where remained. And he lists the apostles. In verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And in verse 15, we come to what Larry was saying. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, the disciplined followers, and said, the number of names together were about 120. So my question was, back in verse 41 of chapter 2, who were they added unto? You see, Jesus, here's Jesus on the earth. He's got his 12, okay? He gets killed. These 12 all scatter, okay? Jesus comes back during the next 40 days. After he raises from the dead, he comes back in the flesh, and he begins to comfort them, to make himself known. You want to put your hand in my nail print? He eats with them. He makes himself known. And then in chapter 1, he reminds them, I want you to go to Jerusalem and stay there until you receive the promise of my Father, which you've heard of me. And then while they're standing there talking to him, shoop, he does a Star Trek beam me up, Scotty, right in front of them. Whoop! Two angels, heavenly messengers. Why are you standing there gazing up? This same Jesus is going to come back. It says, and then they left there. They went to Jerusalem. They assembled together. There was 120 people. They all gathered together in the upper room, a little place, and they began to wait. They began to do what Jesus said, which was to wait until things were going to go his way, his timing. And he started the church, but they were added unto them. They were waiting. That's how it started. They waited on God. They didn't just try to do things in their own power, their own wisdom, or what they've seen other people do. They waited for the empowerment of God. And what did they do? They prayed. They came into one accord. Did they come into one accord with each other? Or did they come into one accord with God? With God.
God and each other.
With God and each other. Okay? So why do you say with God, Steve? So they had to wait for his moving. Okay? To do what he wanted. So they had to wait for him. So they came into one accord. What do you think that meant for them to come into one accord with God? Now these all guys were all Jewish. They were used to temple, synagogue, all this ceremonial law. So what does it mean that they continued in one accord? He said they came into one accord with God. She said they came into one accord with God and with each other. Okay? So what do you think? What does it mean they came in one accord? Is there another choice?
They were not out of disharmony.
They were not in disharmony. So what does that mean? How did they do that? If we go back to the beginning of chapter 1, it says Jesus showed himself alive with many infallible, how's it go? Infallible truths, what was the word he used there? Infallible proofs, about verse 3. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, and he spoke of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then he says, now I'm telling you, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of my Father, because you're going to be endued with power from on high. Yes.
You got to remember, though, that they already had 3 years of background ground being laid by Jesus in their lives first.
That's right.
He raised from the dead and showed himself to be the Son of God. They're going, you know what? We need to drop all our ritualism and follow what Jesus is telling us.
That's where I see this thing. That's exactly what Larry just said. It's like Jesus talked, they followed him. When he died or was taken captive, they all got discouraged. They all got upset. Ever gotten discouraged or upset? Things didn't go the way you thought. Looked like we were in captivity. Want to give up, run and hide. I'll go back to my old ways. I'll go back to fishing. I want to go get busy doing something. I don't want to just sit around here. I don't want to wait. I don't like this. Let's go back to what's comfortable, what we know to do. And then Jesus gets killed, and they're really hiding in the holes. Man, what if they find us? We were linked to him. They might have our names on record. They'd take us, and look what they did to the master. They're going to probably do it to us. Jesus said that would happen.
Right to Peter's face.
His way. But everybody comes full of baggage. And as you're trying to tell them, share with them the things of God, instead of what we normally do is we take those things and try to add them into and understand them from our own perspective. We try to add them to the mix instead of starting over at ground zero, like Larry said. But for us to come into one accord with God, see, for us to come into one accord, like what Judy said, with one another and God, we first have to come into one accord with God. And if all of us came into accord with God, we're going to come into accord with one another. Amen. So that's why we keep saying, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Not what do I feel, what do I think, and what do circumstances tell me? Or what do others say? What does the Bible say to come into one accord? How? It says these all continued. First they returned unto Jerusalem. Jesus had told them to return. They did that. And then they all came into one place. And they prayed. And then they came into one accord. Now, how do you think they came into one accord? Because I want you to notice in chapter 2 and verse 1 when we get there that as they came into one accord, the Holy Spirit showed up and started a whole new thing. But how did they come into one accord? How do we come into one accord with God? God, what preconceived ideas do I have that keep me out of one accord with you and your way? Ask God that question. God, what preconceived ideas do I have that keeps me out of one accord with you and your way of doing things? Realize that a lot of things, hear this, okay? A lot of things that we hear, we basically hear them or read them through rose-colored glasses. We already have things that we think are true. So when we're hearing things from God, we interpret them. We interpret them. We change the meaning of them. The religious leaders, what do you mean? This temple was 46 years in building and you're going to tear down and raise it up in 3 days? And it says, this spake he of his, he spake of his body. After his resurrection, now they could understand. There's a lot of things we don't understand because we're trying to understand it with what we know. We're not waiting on God. That's one of the reasons God keeps having us here wait and wait and wait. It's because God is trying to bring us into oneness with His way. Not something good we've seen somewhere else. He's wanting to bring us into His way, and it's all going to line up with the Scripture. Everything's going to line up with the Scripture. Verse chapter 2, verse 41, and there were added unto them. Who were them? Yep. And it says, apostles whom He had chosen. Leaders, sent ones that He had chosen. And then they were praying. And I think the way that they came into one accord was because exactly what Larry said. As they were praying, they were meditating on things that Jesus said. They had to break agreement with things that they had already preconceived or been taught or exposed to. Because it didn't line up. It didn't. See, when we start questioning God's word, it's because we're considering something else to be true. I don't understand this. Because we're trying to consider something else to be true. Okay? Confusion only comes when we consider any other way but God's way. But to come into one accord with Him. We say we want that, but it takes time because God is very gentle and kind and patient. And He tells us stuff, but He gives us time. He gives us a free will. He makes it hard on Himself. He gives us a free will. We get to choose. I want you to notice that first church, they didn't go back to being a Jewish synagogue. Because they would not have been in one accord with God in what He was doing. God was trying to do something new. And notice that they were in one accord. And how did they get there? They prayed. They came together. They prayed. They waited. They let the Holy Spirit do the work. They broke agreement with things that weren't God, because in chapter 2, verse 1, just a few verses later, it says, when they came into one accord, then God came and endued them with power from on high. Then God came and had the explosion. Can I give you an idea? What if this was burning bush? What if this was burning bush, Acts chapter 1, in verses 12 and following? They all came together. They prayed. They came, there's just a few. They came into one accord with God. They took their position, as you talked about, realizing who they are. They took their position, realized position of each one. But they came into oneness with God. And when they were in one accord, then God showed up and there was explosive growth. One accord with what He wanted. One accord with what He was saying. Letting go of the baggage. Letting go of all their experiences and what we did here or saw there. What we wanted. This military kingdom. Jesus' kingdom has invaded every kingdom on earth. But He's invaded it in a way where He doesn't violate things that He set up. He gave everybody a free will. The majority want to go to hell, don't want God to retain God in their knowledge, don't want righteousness, want selfishness. Do you understand? Pride, not humility. But God's kingdom, Christ, the kingdom of Christ, has invaded every other kingdom on this planet and rescued the remnant, rescued a few who wanted truth. But did it God's way. It wasn't about a show. It wasn't about feeling good. It wasn't about looking good. It wasn't about being big. It was about truth. It was about light. It was about Jesus Christ, always exalted and lifted up. It was always about humbling self, because nobody comes that exalts self. But His kingdom has invaded successfully every kingdom on the planet. We love you. We commit these thoughts into your hands. We ask you to bring us deeper. And we just love you and thank you that you are consistent and you keep pursuing us. And Lord, we want to let you pursue others through us. So we give ourselves to you to do that. Teach us how to follow you and let you be released, your life, your way, through us. We want to live. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus.